Lord just says this morning that the most beautiful thing to Him is a life laid down. It's a life laid down. Because when your life is laid down, not only will it help you to worship, but it'll help you in every area. It'll help you in wisdom. It'll help you in relationships. It'll help you in your walk. And He says it is beautiful to Him. So Lord Jesus, we just consecrate our hearts again to You, Jesus. Everything. Every part. Lord, take us beyond the song and the sentiment into the living and the action. Lord is going to do mighty things in this place. Just as we're sitting here, it's like His heart is just to break open. And the amazing thing is, He says, as you continue to press in, it will happen. It will happen. Many have been praying, many have been asking. It's like there's these contractions, like in pregnancy. And as we worship Him, we're getting to that place where we're going to give birth to the things of the Spirit that He wants for us. And I can see it in my mind, like as a vision. We're right there, guys. We're in the contraction part. Jesus, it's our heart's desire, Lord, to give You everything, every part. To be beautiful unto You, Lord, as we worship You in spirit and truth. We say, Lord, have Your way. Have Your way, Lord. Do what You want to do, Jesus. We lay down our plans, Lord. We lay down our agenda. Thank You, Lord. Have Your way. Oh, we worship the Most High God.
Would you please join me over in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The message this morning is not the one that I thought the Lord was going to have me give to you. As I was getting ready for church this morning, praying about things, and I was praying about all of the, let's just refer to it mildly and gently as social unrest. Because, I mean, it's more than that. And I was, you know, praying about, you know, the riots and all the stuff that's going on. And when I did, the Lord began to speak to me, began to show me some things. And I knew that He had something to say. So anyway, it's kind of hard to type things on a computer when you're standing in the shower. So I knew that when I got here to church this morning that He was going to pick up and continue. I can't speak for anybody else. But I'm telling you how the Lord works with me. I might be driving down the road and He'll be speaking to me, and I might say, okay, can you wait till I get home? And then we'll pick this up there at home. You know, something along those lines. And He does. And there'll be times that'll happen. I'll come to church and He'll remind me of what He said, then pick up and go forward from there. Now, I don't know that He does that with everybody, and that's okay. But that's the way He does with me. And that's what happened today in this particular word that I'm going to be sharing with you here in just a few moments. But, you know, thinking about all the stuff that's going on, I've never seen so much, I don't know what you want to call it, mental instability in all my life. Never. I mean, we've always had strange people in the world, okay? And some of you may know some. Hopefully none of you are some. But what's happening now is a direct result of people rebelling against God. It's what's happening. And you know, their minds aren't working right, but they think they are. You know, there's a passage in Scripture, I didn't even write it down, but it talks about God warning people who think, they say that good stuff is bad and bad stuff is good. You know, and that's what's going on. That's what's happening. People's minds aren't right. And you could have somebody who could come up with, you know, a cure for cancer, but that doesn't mean their mind is right in every area. That's just like these computer experts, man. I mean, they're super techie people, but they can't even get their shirt buttoned right. So, you know, we've got a real problem in this country. And we're at the place now, you know, people, and I know it's not 100% of everybody, I get that, but you've got so many people in this country, and it includes Christians, they want you to speak out about social injustice. And they expect the star athletes, the professional athletes, to stand up and speak out, the team owners to stand up and speak out, and all the singers, you know, the country singers, rock singers, you know, whatever they are, to stand up and speak out. And here's the problem. It doesn't matter what you say. Somebody is going to rake you over the coals for it. It doesn't matter what you say. And one of the dumbest things that you can do is stand up and speak out. And I've seen Christians post up on Facebook. It's like, do you not know how to keep your mouth shut? Do you not? I don't want to hear your opinion. Do you not know? Do you not know what God has said in His Word about the mouth of the fool? Do you not know? And apparently they don't. And so you've got people that just want to blab everything, and it doesn't matter if they're right or wrong. You know, some folks are just not going to learn. And then they're going to stand before God on judgment and say, everybody's so mean to me. He goes, well, why did you keep opening your mouth and ask them? You know, please criticize me. Now, I haven't put any posts out there about any of this because I'm far more intelligent than that. But I don't have problems saying things from the pulpit, as you well know. You see, the problem with white people today, it's not racism. It's a lack of Jesus. The problem with black people, it's not racism. It's a lack of Jesus. That's what it comes down to, because I'm telling you right now, I don't care who you are or what your skin color is, if your life was right with Jesus Christ, this stuff would not be going on. Now, you got a problem with that? Stuff it. I don't care. Because I'm right and you're wrong. You don't have Scripture for your position, but I've got Scripture for mine. Amen. And one of the worst things you can do is let yourself get sucked into this. If you take a look, you want to talk about social injustice? You know, again, you want to get mad at me, get mad at me. But black folk, you don't have it nearly as bad as what you think. See, I grew up in the 60s. So at Barry grew up in the 60s. And he and I both could stand up here. And you notice there's a difference in our skin color? He and I both could stand up here and tell you the stories back in the 60s. How black folk, you can't eat here, you can't eat there, you can't drink from that water fountain, you can't stay in this hotel, you can't ride here in this bus, and you can't do this. I remember that. The lynchings, the beatings, the rapes, the shootings. I remember that. It was worse then than it is now. It was a whole lot worse back then than what it is now. A lot of people up here in the north, they really don't understand that. But it was bad. Into the 60s, it was bad. And it's like a lot of folks today don't seem to understand that. They don't seem to get it. But you want to talk about social injustice? Why don't you get you a time machine, go back a little over 2,000 years ago, and just sit down and talk with a bunch of the Jewish people. Just find out how they were treated by the Romans. You know, remember when Jesus talked about, you know, go the extra mile? Well, see, back in those days, that's in Scripture, right? Remember that? You know, go the extra mile, okay? I mean, you do remember there's something about that in there. Back then, a Roman soldier, if he saw a Jewish man working in his field or sitting having a picnic with his family or whatever, it doesn't matter. The Roman soldier could tell that Jewish person, you carry my pack, and by law, that person had to do it for a mile. And if he refused, that Roman soldier could kill him, and there'd be no punishment. You want to talk about prejudice? You want to talk about social injustice? See, it's all relative to how you perceive it in your mind. And people really don't understand. Now, am I stupid and ignorant? And am I standing here saying that there is no racism? I'm not saying that. Yeah, it goes on. And I've got news for you. It's going to go on until Jesus comes back. You're not going to end it. I mean, you can burn down every building in the United States of America. Guess what? Ain't changing nothing. It's still going to be there. Laws for the lawless and forces for the rebellious. Now, I'm not on some kind of a soapbox. What I'm trying to do is to get you to understand all this stuff that's going on, it is in part an attempt to get your eyes off Jesus. And you're going to lose focus. And when you do, you're going to miss what God's doing. Let's just get something straight. If you look beyond the United States of America, there are people groups in other countries that have it worse than the blacks in the United States. And yet we live in this bubble to where it's all about us here in the United States. Do you know that in Afghanistan, do you want to know? No, it doesn't matter if you want to know or not, I'm going to tell you. Well, you know how we've had our soldiers in Afghanistan and the fighting and all this stuff's going on? Do you know the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems our military has encountered over in Afghanistan? It is what's the way to say this? The structure of the hierarchy in that nation. Now here's what I mean. If you are a man of, say, importance, of whatever that means, you could be what we might call a mayor, or a governor, or a city councilman, or you might be a captain, or a general. Or in other words, if you're a person of some kind of status, then you can bring young boys into your home for your physical pleasure. It is accepted. It is approved. In fact, you can have 5 or 6 or 10 of them in your home for your pleasure. And nothing's done about it. Brother Martin, you can't be right. Look it up. And here's the problem. The people who are doing that are helping our military to get rid of the terrorists. So here you are, rocking a hard spot. If our military goes in there and says, okay, you stop these perversions, they say, maybe we'll help the terrorists. That's what's going on. And people in this country think they've got it bad. You have no clue. You have no clue what's going on. Try. Why don't you move to Israel for a while to find out how dangerous it is for the Jews to live in their own land. You have no idea. Here's the thing. Our news reports do not tell us what's going on over there. Listen to me. You look this up. If you want to, you can log on to Israeli news reports, newspapers, and so forth, and you can find out what's really happening over there. Every day, there is military action against Israel. Every single day. Some days, it's missiles that are being shot over. See, over here, we don't hear that. And so what happens is, we live in a bubble. And we think it's all about us, and that we've got all these problems here, that it's worse, and so on. No, you don't understand. This whole world is corrupt. And things that are going on here in the United States that you could call prejudice, or racism. Guys, there's stuff going on in other countries that's far worse. Did you know that in New York City, Jews are openly attacked and beaten? And nothing is done. It's on record. Security cameras have captured some of these things. And nothing's done. Where is the protesting in all this? We've got a problem in this world. But more than that, we've got a problem in the church. Now, in Romans chapter 1, here's what's happened. The Lord directed me to different passages to illustrate what's going on here in what we're encountering here in the United States. For example, here we go, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, before we go any further, he's using these passages we're going to read to identify problems, things that are going on now. Every single one of you in here, you have money, whether it's a penny, $100 bill, or somewhere in between. Somewhere on that money, it says, "In God we trust." Now, a while back, some people were complaining about certain coins and said, "Well, in God we trust, you know, the Antichrist has removed, in God we trust." No, it was on the edge of the coin. People didn't realize that. They just jumped on a bandwagon and went with it. Boy, I could go on that one for a while. But he says here, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay. If you live in the United States of America, you're living in a nation that was established upon the Word of God. It's not God's fault people have deviated away from that. But the original intent for the establishment of this country still exists. Still exists. So therefore, what you have in this country are people who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The moment that you hold a coin in your hand, you got money in your hand, in God we trust, you're holding the truth. Do you see this? Now jump over to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Stop. He is not talking about what happened yesterday and that today this is the result. He's talking about a process of time. He's talking about a process of more than one generation. Not just, well, yesterday, boy, you guys were bad, so today you get a reprobate mind. No. He's talking about people who over time have continued to push away from him. And where it says he gave them over to a reprobate mind, he didn't give them a reprobate mind. He allowed them to make their own choice. He did everything he could. Everything he could to prevent it. But he's not going to violate your will. And so it's like God said, you know what, if this is what you want to do, I can't stop you. Oh, I could, I've got the power, but I won't because I'm bound by my word. And if this is what you want to do, then that's what you're going to do. You're going to walk right into the reprobate mind, and that's how you're going to operate. What in the world do you think we're seeing in this country right now? We are seeing a reprobate mind dominate the decisions of so many leaders in this nation. And he said, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Are we reading our society today? Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have the pleasure in them that do them. So, see, this is not just the society out there. But it's the church. It's the body of Christ. Now jump over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I just find it interesting how, but there are so many churches. In fact, there was several years ago, it was about, I don't know, maybe 5 years or so ago, this organization, and I forget which group it was, they performed some kind of a study. And this study was completed in all kinds of different churches. But it included churches that, you know, profess Jesus as Savior, so on and so forth. And they asked, what do you think are the most important issues that need to be dealt with in your church? The biggest problems, or what do you think needs to be taught or preached on? And one of the top three, consistently, church after church, was social injustice or social issues. Okay, now, that may sound, well, it makes sense to me, to you. You may be thinking that makes sense. Okay. In 3.5 years of ministry, how many times did Jesus stand up and rant and rave about social injustice? And if I'm to look unto him as the author and the finisher of my faith, then what I do is I follow that pattern of Jesus Christ. I identify the spiritual problem. Because if you deal with the spiritual problem, the social problems take care of themselves. It's simple. So what I'm trying to do, that's like looking at a tire, and it's like, you know, well, why should I change the tire? Well, because it's flat. No, it's not flat. It's only flat on the bottom. But all the rest of it is still round. You think, what? That's the stupidest thing. Okay, that's like saying we need to fix the social problems without the spiritual. And it goes on. And you have pastors in churches stand up and talk about, we need to deal with the racism. Okay, then put Jesus Christ first. Not a problem. We need to go out and we need to protest. No, what you need to do is get born again and live for Christ. We need to go out and we need, and on it goes. Not just black churches, white churches, all over the place. No, you got the cart before the horse. You can't eat the fruit until the seed has produced. And that means you got to start out with the seed of the spiritual problem, and then it produces the fruit of the solution. Yeah, you want to talk about social issues? Great, that Jesus Christ came to fix the social issues. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the solution to your social issues. But, like we just read there in Romans, people push that out of their minds. I don't need religion. What I need is justice. I don't need your religion. What I need is what you better give me. I don't need all this church stuff. What I need is somebody to make it right. Well, you're putting a Band-Aid over the problem. And sometimes the problem needs to be cut out. And the cutting out takes place with the power of God in the heart of man. A lot of people don't want to hear stuff like this. Thing is, I'm telling you the problem and the solution. And yet, in Scripture, God prophesied, look, this is going to happen. Look here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. You think we're kind of headed into that? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Hey, is that not what's going on today? It's all about me. I don't care about you. It's all about me. You know, you do what I want. It's all about me. I love me. I'll say I love you, but I really love me. And you ought to love me too. You ought to love me more than you love you because, well, you know, it's all about me. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Are we not reading what's going on right now. You know, I find it so interesting how that this one fellow came out. He's the head of a particular organization, and he said that the United States government needs to give, what was it, like all the certain amount of money to every black person in the United States. It comes out to like $14 trillion or some crazy amount. Why? Well, reparations for what happened during slavery. Seriously? How stupid, how arrogant, how prideful. You want that money? Why don't you go talk to Portugal and France and Spain? You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, why aren't you protesting at the United Nations, you know, where they have their embassies, those countries? So what are you talking about? Where do you think the slave traders came from? Have you not done your research? Do you not understand that from those European countries, they went to Africa, they paid tribes to invade and conquer other tribes and bring the conquered tribes back to the slave traders to be loaded on the ships and brought to the United States? Do you not know that? Apparently you don't. Where were you in history class? Because I learned it. How many of you didn't? And I'm guessing a bunch of you didn't. Because I'm older than you. I can prove it. See that gray hair? How come you're not protesting where it started? Why not? You want money? Well, go talk to the people that got this thing going. Brother Martin, I'm not feeling so comfortable right about now. Why not? Seriously, why not? See, if you understood and you knew truth, you would be very comfortable with what I'm saying right now. But if you're uncomfortable with what I'm saying right now, it's because you have rebelled against what God has established. And you have ignored truth. Do you know what's happening right now in the United States? It's an attempt to rewrite history. That's what's going on. We need to burn all the Confederate flags. Do you know that over in Germany they still have Nazi flags? They're not flying them. But they preserved that history as a reminder of what happened. Now look here in, well, go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. See, I'm not deceived in all of this. I'm not blinded into thinking that if we protest enough, if we have enough marches, if we have enough shootings, if we tear up enough buildings, if we do this, that things are going to change. If everybody in the whole United States of America puts a Black Lives Matter sign in their front yard, everything's going to be okay. I'm not stupid enough to believe that. And besides that, what hypocrisy. Why don't you have a sign that says Black Lives, Brown Lives, Yellow Lives, White Lives, Red Lives? Why don't you have a sign that they all matter? You understand what I'm saying? Some of you do. A lot of people don't want to deal with it. Because it might get some folks upset. They're already upset. That's why this stuff's going on. That's just like some Christians, they say, well, you know, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do... I mean, you don't want to get the devil mad. He already hates you. What are you worried about? Besides, Jesus has given you authority over him. Good glory, come on. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Now, this literally is talking about Christians having their conversation, their lifestyle honest among the lost. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, don't we hear that today? You Christians, you're just messing everything up. No, we're not. We're trying to help. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay, let me kind of paraphrase briefly. Doesn't matter what they do now, if you live as Christ in the world, the day's coming when they're going to recognize you were right all along. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, For the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or the president, or the governor. Look here, verse 14. Is unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. You don't tell me you're a Christian if you're out there participating in all the rabble-rousing. Don't tell me you love God if you're out there doing this. Because right here is scripture that says, don't do it. Pretty simple. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And so, the rise of the foolish man. Well, that'd be a good title. That's what's going on today. And then some women are going to get mad about that and say, oh, I'm just as foolish as the men. Why don't you call it, okay, the rise of the ignorant, foolish people. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. But as the servants of God. See, this is written to Christians, but the concept extends over into society. Don't use your freedom as a cloak for maliciousness. So what's going on today? Just the opposite. Look in Romans chapter 13. You say, well, Brother Martin, I'm not all caught up in this. I mean, I'm not going out doing those kind of things, and I'm not, oh, well, now wait a second, we're not done yet. Okay? And if you're feeling guilty, because you have been doing some of these things, or supporting these things, as Romans kind of warns, yeah, you need to be a little convicted here. In Romans chapter 13, look, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. This does not mean that God is approving of wrong leadership. It means that God has ordained authority in this world. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. See, you can have people rising up and protesting leadership the way that we've seen. Well, it doesn't matter if that leadership is Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal, it doesn't matter. They're in a position of authority. And God is saying, you better respect them. Respect not their decisions or their positions necessarily, but the fact that they're in a place of authority. And so many of them have been put in that place of authority by the people who are protesting, voters. He says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now stop right there. You need to know this right now. If all the stuff that's going on in the country continues, there's going to be a backlash. And you're going to see the authorities get fed up with it, and they're going to send in fully weaponized police, National Guard, and they're going to tell them, restore order no matter what it takes. It's going to happen. If it does not get resolved any other way, this is going to happen. And a lot of people think, well, now, Brother Martin, that's a little extreme. Oh, really? Well, wait until they start marching down your street burning up houses. You're going to wish somebody was there to help. You say, well, that's not going to happen. Would you like me to stand here and go off a little bit longer on what happened in Dayton in 1966 over on West 3rd Street? Just drive West 3rd Street. Almost over 50 years later, there's still devastation. We could go out here right now and get in the cars and parade down West 3rd Street. You're going to see buildings that have never recovered since those riots. It's still there. And some of you, I think you may know what I'm talking about because you've seen it. He said, wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. He never said taxes were going to be fair. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, verse 9 is being severely violated right now in this country. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation near than we believed. Another way to say that is this: Christians, wake up, smell the spiritual coffee, and realize you're knocking on the door of the end. Get it right now. Get your lives in order. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Do you realize what I just read to you right here? What we've all read right here. This is your answer to social injustice. This is it right here. Tells you what not to do and what you ought to do. And if you do what you ought to do, then you're not going to see stuff going on that's going on. This is the answer. Take a look in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and look at verse 37. Jesus, talking about end times now, he said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus is talking about as it was in the days of Noah. Now turn over to Luke chapter 17, and let's see this presented, worded a little bit differently. Luke chapter 17, begin in verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, when we read this, we see how that Jesus speaks in verse 25 that, but first he, Jesus, he's got to suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Okay, now, I understand what Jesus went through because he's talking here, sharing all this prior to his arrest and his crucifixion. So I understand the whole concept of him being rejected and so forth of that generation. But when you put this in the middle of what he's saying concerning end times, he's talking about he is being rejected by this generation. And that's what we're seeing happen in this nation right now. There is a rejection of everything that Jesus stands for. There is a rejection of the standards that have been established in the Word of God. And he says, you know, he's going to be rejected, and as it was in the days of Noah, and then the judgment's going to come and destroy them all. Okay, well, this is what we see in Matthew and in Luke relative to the days of Noah. But turn back to Genesis chapter 6. Let's see a little more. Find out a little bit more information about what was going on in the days of Noah. Now, we're not going to read this entire passage. We're just going to hit the highlights that God once pointed out. In Genesis chapter 6, just take a look, start here, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jump to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And we know what happened, the flood, and so on and so forth. Do you see what he's describing here, though? Could he not have instead of it saying, You know, verse 11, the earth also was corrupt. Couldn't he say the United States also was corrupt before God? The earth, the United States was filled with violence? This is what's happening right now, as it was in the days of Noah. Eating, drinking, marrying, so on and so forth. But then when we get back here to the days of Noah to find out more, we realize it wasn't just the eating, drinking, you know, marrying and all that other. It's also the earth was filled with violence. And we're seeing it now more than ever. Protests all over the place. You know, the wars and the rumors of wars. I mean, guys, it's happening. Now, we've got a situation on hand, and what we have are people, Christians. You know, we read the news reports, watch TV, read all the posts on Facebook, and we come back thinking, what's wrong with this world? These people are going mad. Well, a bunch of them already there. Look at what's happening. I mean, oh, Jesus, if only you would come back. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, well, he said something about this is the beginning of sorrows. It's like, what? It's going to get worse? Oh, yeah. You ever read the book of Revelation? It gets really bad. So, here we are, Christians. It's like, how can people be like this? How in the world can folks act like this? What's wrong with these people out there in the world? Well, we've talked about that. But how did it get like that? And that's where this part comes in. This is a word that the Lord shared with me, what he spoke to me this morning before this service. I'm going to read this to you, and then this will be available as a PDF download next to the MP3 at our website once we get it uploaded. The Lord said, the rebellion you see manifesting in the natural throughout your nation is but a reflection of the rebellion I have been watching in my church. You watch as people rebel against the authorities of their cities. I have watched as my children rebel against the authority of those in leadership in my church who speak my uncompromising truth. You watch as people rise up against and ignore the laws established in your land. I have watched as my children rise up against and ignore the laws of my kingdom as recorded in my word. You have seen unruly mobs tear down statues throughout your nation. I have watched as my children become unruly mobs and tear down the standards set forth by Paul, Peter, James, John, and others who heard my voice and scribed my holy scriptures. You have witnessed those in authority stand by and do nothing to stop the rioting. I have watched as leaders in my church, especially pastors, stand by and do nothing to stop the rioting against me, at times even encouraging the rebellious behavior through their doctrines of devils. You have heard people throughout your land cry out against racism and prejudice. I have watched as more and more of my children have declared, in their own words, that Christians who strive to live according to my word and holiness are prejudiced against those who claim to love me, yet want to live according to wanton lasciviousness. Have I not said in my word that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord? Have I not said in my word that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn? Have I repeatedly said in my word that if you come before me in humility and seek me with all your heart, I will visit you and move in your midst? What you are seeing in your nation now began in my church. Too many churches have not truly had me as the Lord. Too many churches have not had in authority those who are truly living according to righteousness. As the church goes, so goes the nation. I have watched as numerous pastors have led an insurrection against truth, replacing it with what their flesh and mental reasonings decide is truth. The spirit of Korah has been rising in my church and has established a strong foothold in many congregations. Just as Korah and his followers rebelled against Moses who gave them my word, Korah and his followers have risen in my church in rebellion against the word, my son, who is the cornerstone of truth. But just as my judgment fell on Korah and those who followed him, my judgment will be executed against the followers of Korah in my church. However, just as the sons of Levi drew their swords and slew those who had worshipped the golden calf, the sons of Levi are rising again, those of my royal priesthood who have not forsaken truth. And with the sharp two-edged sword of my word, they are clearing out the rubbish and debris of false doctrine and declaring my truth that will bring judgment to those who have dwelled in my camp, yet worshipped the golden calf of a false image of who I am, an image they have created for themselves. The storm you are witnessing is not over. There will be more deaths, more crime, more fear gripping the hearts of people. I spoke to you years ago and said the day was coming when police would be so overwhelmed they would not be able to investigate every murder. Those days are now upon you. But know this, I am your rock of refuge. I am the glory and the lifter up of your head. I am your hiding place. You absolutely must slay the flesh of self-focus and earnestly seek me, setting your affection on things above where my Son is seated on the throne of glory. As my Son said, in this world you will have tribulation, but do not let your heart be troubled. Trust me. Get your focus off the troubles of this world and stop letting the news reports disrupt my peace which dwells within you. Though you are in the world, I will lift you above the fray of unrest and give you a greater vision of my glory. My joy will be your strength. Seek me and endure to the end, and your joy will be eternal in my presence. Praise God. What we're seeing in this nation right now, the blame is on the church. Stop blaming the world. We're the ones with the answer. We're the ones with Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're the ones who have authority over the devil. We're the ones who have been birthed out of righteousness and true holiness. We're the ones who have had the ability to put an end to this stuff. And yet the church has been continually backslidden, not every Christian, but generally speaking, and drifted away from the standards of God's Word to where now there is no atmosphere of holiness. There is no atmosphere, no concept of a godly awareness. I remember when I was a kid growing up, churches were packed on Christmas and Easter. I mean packed. People who didn't go to church any other time of the year, they were there on Easter. I can remember chairs being lined up in the aisles and having hardly no room for anybody to sit because it's Easter. I can remember when people would talk about going to church on Sundays. There was something different. There was something special. And those of you that are around my age and even older, you can remember this. But it's not like that anymore. It's not like that. And if Christians had stood their ground, if Christians had stood their ground and done what they could, you would never have seen the Bible reading and prayer removed from schools. You would never have seen abortion made legal. You would have never seen all of the permissiveness that's now been made legal take place in this nation. You wouldn't have seen it. You see, God, there are too many people in the body of Christ, let alone the world, but too many people in the body of Christ who think that fleshly feeling good is a sign of God's blessings. And yet, we're told to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's because in our own minds, our human minds, our natural way of thinking, we have no way of comprehending how bad and how devastating sin really is. But once we get the mind of Christ, we then have a conscience that bears witness. And the only way that we can go against that is if we begin to sear that conscience. And that's what God's talking about in this prophecy. that the body of Christ has seared its conscience. Not every Christian, but generally speaking. That's just like when you look through the history of Israel. It wasn't every single Jewish person that rebelled against God. But when the majority rebelled, they ended up having lots of problems. When the leadership, when the priests rebelled, you had a lot of problems. It's no different today. The difference is this. We're no longer under the law of Moses, but we are under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Rebellion is rebellion, no matter what age it takes place. And what we're seeing in this country right now is a result of the church going to sleep. Now, one of the things that God shared with me during praise and worship before I came up here, this church, and I don't mean, you know, people say, well, the people, they're the church. Okay, yeah. I'm talking about where you are right now in this place. This, from God's perspective, is a city of refuge. To where when you come in this place, the anointing and the presence of God is such to where I don't care what burden you carried in, it can be lifted before you leave. No matter what depressive emotion you're battling when you walk in, it can be driven away before you leave. This is a city of refuge. And he gave me a type of, I call it like maybe a like a visionette or something, as though because of what we're doing in seeking God through praise and worship and these prayer times and so forth, it's like we're erecting, you know, a fortress around this place, like walls around this place, so that people can come here and, I don't want to use the word escape, but find relief from a lot of that stuff that's going on. The world will only depress you, but God's presence will lift you up. We are not a typical church. And I'm not saying we are the only church like this in the area. I'm just saying we're not a typical church. And as we continue to press into God, every single one of us in here, I don't care what your age, every single one of us in here, I'm telling you, God will use us in spectacular ways. I don't know that everyone in here is going to raise the dead. I don't know that everyone in here is going to open the blind eyes. I don't know what the future holds for every single individual, but what I do know is this, God will use us in a spectacular fashion, no matter who you are. Children will be able. Children will lay hands on their friends and healing will take place. That's who we are and what we are because of who bought us with His blood. Praise God. These are the end days. And I say we are going to be that end times remnant revival church for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your truth. Because Your Word is truth and truth is Your Word. Now, Father, I know a lot of people out there might be challenged about what they heard. But God, there is a call to accountability that's taking place for us as individuals and for church congregations. Father, we need to face up to the reality of how, in general, we've drifted away from Your Word and Your standards. Father, the only thing that's going to change what goes on in this world, it's people that would yield unto Jesus Christ. So, Father, we do everything we can, individually and as a congregation, to yield totally and completely over to You, knowing that not everybody is going to do that. We see what's coming in Your Word. But between now and whenever we join You, when this world has come to its conclusion, and Father, may we serve You and love You with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, everything about us, and never compromise in our walk with You. Father, I thank You for what You've done here today. And Father, just watch over us on this holiday that we would have a joyous Father's Day. Even if our dads aren't with us any longer, or even if we don't know who our dads are, Father, You are our dad. and we can have a wonderful Father's Day in your presence. And Father, I thank you again that my name is written in your book of life. I am born again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.